Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, for fun and memories where we laugh together and we sit together and we just be together. Oh, because that's what life is for. Enjoying one another and loving one another. When I was a house, I once sold houses. I described to the curious what they were already looking at. Then I became interested in the meaning of the past and submerged myself into it. I traveled in time. Then, because I was not careful, or others were not careful, I lost my soul, and it entered a house, and I became a house. But houses cannot see or hear or feel, and yet they contain all that, and so the living beings in them become the thoughts and memory of the house, their interactions and daily lives, the synapses of the house's brain, and they formed memories along with my previous memories all together superimposed on one another. Let's watch a television show. Oh, that's a great use of time. I just want to forget things for a while. Give me a hammer and I can take care of that for you. No more blows to the head, Butchie. I just want to unwind and watch some escapist TV. A Man Escaped is a good movie. I was thinking more like the TV show Land of the Mind, where the sailing friends get lost in another world or something. Oh, that's garbage. Okay. The producers had someone come up with a whole working language for the French character. That's... all right. Here, I have it queued up on Jonah TV.
Butchie, Lou, and Hardy went out on a boat ride. Then they hit a storm. They saw a big old whirlpool. Then they sailed into it, and their lives would never be the same, because now they live in the land of the mind. Mind. Living in the land of
Party
the mind.
Party do something.
Living in the land of the mind. The land of the mind. Living in the land
Party
of the
do
mind.
Something.
Living in the land of the mind. Living in the land of the mind.
Party do something.
I never thought you could rent an 18th century sailing ship to take out for the day.
I mean, if you could rent a small pontoon party boat, why wouldn't you be able to rent a full-size 300-year-old schooner?
Do we know how to sail this thing?
They gave us this card with steps on it. Step one, raise anchor. Step two, sail away.
Any more?
Step three, enjoy.
Sounds easy enough. Should I raise the mizzen?
I'm not sure we have one.
Should I make sweet tea?
Now that's a good idea. There's a whole equipped galley.
I saw. They even have a stand-up mixer. Should I make choux pastry?
Nah, just make some tea. You see anything through that telescope, Butch?
No. I think maybe I'm having an ocular migraine.
Here, you look through it. This isn't a telescope, it's a kaleidoscope.
Yeah, so we don't collide with other ships or rocks.
No, you just see colored shapes.
Oh, good. I'm still having an ocular migraine, though.
All right, well, why don't you go below and lie down? I can drive the boat.
It's sail the ship, so we're doomed. But I do need to lie down, so whatever.
Hey, I have salt water in my blood.
We all do.
Anyway, nothing more peaceful than sailing on the open seas. I see now why Captain Durr loves this ship so much. Vast ocean. Makes you realize how tiny you are.
Giants do that too.
Yep.
Anything relatively large.
Yep. My shoe would make you feel small if you were an ant.
Yes.
It's the size difference.
For sure.
That reminds me. I think I forgot to start the clothes dryer.
Ants and shoes remind you?
No, that whirlpool. We don't have a whirlpool dryer. I think it's a Maytag.
Whirlpool?
Yeah, they make appliances.
No, I mean, where's the whirlpool?
Right there, off the starboard bow.
Oh, very good with the terminology, Lou.
Wowie, wow, that's huge.
I know, right? What's that Poe novel on a ship that ends in a whirlpool, but the book was never finished?
The narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket? I don't think there's a whirlpool in it.
That's so funny, because I remember there being a big whirlpool. Oh, here comes Butch. Butch, is there a whirlpool in the Poe novel, Arthur Gordon?
Holy smokes, a whirlpool, and we're being sucked in.
Hit reverse.
There's no reverse.
We're gonna be pulled under.
Oh no, Hardy, do something.
And here we are in the land of the lame.
We're in our kitchen.
Was I dreaming? Or did we just sail into a whirlpool?
You still smell like fish.
Shut up, that's his body wash.
No, I smell like fish. We were in a boat, then you sailed us into a weird whirlpool. Then there was a short, sort of obligatory psychedelic fall down the rabbit hole, at which time we realized that this isn't an actual whirlpool, but some type of interdimensional portal. Then we land here in our kitchen, which is fine by me, because that stupid ship was giving me migraines.
What kind of weird doorway was that whirlpool?
Garden variety, if you ask me. We keep getting sucked into time portals like frogs into pool skimmers.
Yikes! I remember that from my grandpa's pool in Jupiter.
Jupiter? What are you, Sun Ra?
Jupiter, Florida. And Sun Ra was from Saturn.
Anyway, I'm just glad to be back.
Me too. Who wants butter?
Wait now. So, is this another universe? Oh, who cares? Can't you just enjoy your coffee and stop living in your head? But one minute we were on a ship, and one minute there's another minute and something else happens. It goes on like that. But I didn't expect the moment of being on a sinking ship to be followed by sitting in our kitchen.
I love how comfortable you are here that you call my kitchen our kitchen.
We've lived here so long, we're common law owners of your house.
Oh, I didn't know that's how it works.
Sometimes I understand what's supposed to follow one thing, but I wasn't prepared for what followed sailing into a whirlpool. Well, you live and learn wrong things and then you die.
Who hears waves?
Surfers.
People who listen to the radio. Radio waves.
No, I mean the sound of water breaking on a beach or the bow of a boat.
Oh, so Butchie wins.
No, I mean I hear waves now. Do you?
Nope.
No. Tinnitus?
Maybe you accidentally taped a seashell to your ear. Check the side of your head.
No, I hear something.
Is that you, Bosun?
Bosun?
What?
Bring me my telescopic device.
Telescope?
Bosun? Telescope? I need at least one more clue, Hardy.
go below and get my telescope, bosun, right away.
Yes, Captain.
Yes, Captain. Oh, names of sitcoms from the 1770s.
I don't think Hardy is completely with us.
What's he looking for in those drawers?
No idea. Oh, a rolling pin. No, I don't want it. Here, Captain, your telescope.
Thank you, water servant. I like to stand on the front of the ship and look through the wrong end of it and imagine I'm falling backwards into a bottomless grave.
Oh.
No, I just did that once. Actually, I'm looking for land.
Is he having some kind of brain thing?
Lou? I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so?
Oh, not you, Captain. Lou.
Captain Lou? Albano?
Hardy, Butchie here.
Hey, Butch.
I think you might be in two places at once. What are you saying? What's a hay bush? Is that like a halberd? Don't talk anymore. You'll confuse the people there.
Gotcha.
Gotcha? Is this a game?
No, Captain.
See what I mean? So shut up and just talk to whoever's in the other space you're in.
What's going on, Butch?
Oh, things got folded, so Hardy's in two places at once.
How?
Well, they're superimposed over one another.
That's weird.
Come here, bosun, and look at this. What do you see?
Is that an island?
Is it?
Is what an island? The kitchen one? That island?
I'm not sure if it's an island or not.
It looks like an island.
It looks like a countertop in the middle of the room, but we call it an island.
Be quiet. He's not talking to us. He's talking to the people in the superimposed world. Well, I'm not sure if it's an island, but I've decided we are sailing towards it.
All right.
Well, make it happen.
Oh, like... what, like steer or...
Make it go in that direction by adjusting the blow sheets and turning the thing with the handles on it.
Aye, aye, Captain.
The sooner we get to that thing that might be an island, the sooner we reach land and get supplies, or we don't at all.
Hardy, can I speak to you?
Sure.
Over here.
What's going on, Don?
I have lived before in just my mind and experienced that landscape without the support of a physical body.
When you were a house?
When I was a house. When I was a house, I lived entirely in my mind. And when that happened, I realized my memories were stacked on each other like transparent images. Like cartoon cells piled up but without a piece of paper between each one. So that they form a composite image of everything that ever happened to me.
Am I in my mind?
Yes. For whatever reason, the structure of the present that holds you together has given way, and you are watching overlapping films of your life without any new input.
Am I dreaming?
No. You are awake but facing away from the world like a sensory deprivation tank.
I'm soaking in it.
You are swimming in memory, looking at reflections of your reflection.
Am I dead?
Not just yet.
No rain in the forecast. Partly cloudy, but with increased sunshine. Low this morning, 61 degrees, but we have an expected high later in the day of a balmy 81. Don't you hate it when weak tape fails? Hold fast, hold tight with Super Tape. Ricky Haywood show is next, so stay tuned.
Caesar Mattress King, conquering prices and leading the world in quality mattress value. Say hail no to high prices. No more Roman. Come to Caesar Mattress King, Highway 90 in McGovern. Look for the big red bed.
It's the Ricky Haywood Show.
Hey, Butch. Hardy is still sitting there with that blank look on his face.
Oh, he always has that. I can still hear you.
I know.
What do you see now?
In a radio studio.
Okay, so this might be obvious, but make sure you're not broadcasting. Is there an on-air sign, and is it lit?
Yes.
Yes to which?
Both.
Hey, genius, you're on the air. You better come up with something to say.
Oh, welcome to my show. I am, well, you know who I am because there was probably an intro. I see there's a flashing light, and my deepest fear is that we have a caller. Hello, you're on the air with me.
Do you think this is an island or not? I can't imagine what else a big dark bump on the horizon would be. Maybe a whale. A whale the size of Bermuda.
Well, friends, sometimes we want something to be true so badly, we make it so without the cooperation of the universe.
What episode are we in?
I think the Return to Gilligan's Island-based one.
I remember that one. That was recently.
Yeah.
Who is that getting out of the seaplane?
Well, that's Hardy. He stayed here once, and he wants to relive that time again.
I can't recreate it exactly because I don't remember what I said. You forget your lines fast when you do a weekly show.
Just improvise. You can't fake stupid, and your realness just shines right through.
Thanks, Butch.
Hey, you guys. Here we are back on the island.
Yep, right back.
We were here before, apparently, and now here we are all again.
You guys seem weird. Everything okay?
Yes.
In the hotel?
The hotel.
Oh, yes.
Is the hotel up and running as expected? How many guests do we have?
Yeah, all of them.
All of what?
The guests.
We're full?
Hardy sounds like he's talking about the Return to Gilligan's Island-based episode. I wonder where he is.
What do you mean, Lou?
What do I mean by guests? I mean, you sound like you're in that episode from a few weeks ago.
Episode? I'm on the island with you.
I know. I'm standing right in front of you. Oh, you might be talking to me then.
I'm talking to you. Both Lou's.
Both Lou's?
You need to shut up. You're making him look like a psycho in that other world.
Hardy, just talk to the island Lou and not the kitchen Lou.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, sorry I'm being weird, but you know how you replay memories when you're talking to people and sometimes those worlds blend together?
Like when Butchie yells at me, but what I hear is my father.
Yes, something like that.
When someone yells at me, I always think of my old friend Yelly.
Oh, man. When I first met him, I was like, why is this guy yelling at me? But then I realized he just had that one volume. Good thing he's called Yelly to give folks a heads up, or they might get the wrong impression.
Let's go to the hotel.
I heard the bell the first time.
I heard the bell the first time, but I ignored it, and I figured you would too. But now the bell rings on in my head, and I am stirring.
You see, the bell's purpose is a request for assistance.
I request assistance. I need it. I require assistance to survive in the world.
Much like a lift button, a single press begins the process of summoning the lift, which will arrive at your floor after it has completed its other tasks in the order they were requested.
That's like prayer.
Very similar to prayer.
After I pray for something, I don't know when to stop hoping, since sometimes the time between cause and effect is long.
Cause and effect are not instantaneous, relative to your perception, at least.
Relative to my perception, I might not get the answer to my prayer until long after I am dead, but I need somewhere to stay now. I need somewhere to stay now.
Well, by some miraculous and fortuitous occurrence, you've come to a hotel, a fact that drastically increases your chances of getting a room.
Do you have my room?
So sorry, actually no, we're completely booked. No available rooms.
Can you guys hear me?
Roger.
It's like Hardy is wired for an undercover operation, instead of just trapped in a folded universe.
I'm in a hotel room.
Indistinguishable.
All right, how many things are going on at once?
First, it's raining in the room.
Oh, you're in a Tarkovsky film.
Okay, so that could be any memory. Any voices?
No, not yet. I'm getting Captain Durer a lot, though.
Wonder why he keeps turning up.
The first Durer was trying to double a cube.
Yeah?
Maybe he did. Hardy, the room number on your room. Is it an irrational number?
No, it's 8.
Good.
Now it's 1. Okay, now it's just the words fairly large prime.
Are you at a steakhouse?
Hardy, is there a vibrating bed?
No.
What the heck?
I was trying to establish the year of the hotel room. So you're not in the 70s. Is there a mirror over the bed?
Negative.
What's the decor like?
Like a cabin.
Are you in a cabin?
Maybe.
There's cabin hotels.
No, there's a bunch of rental cabins, but a hotel is a specific thing.
Go out the front door, Hardy. Is there a hallway? Yes. Super long in either direction.
It's not a cabin, then. Just cabin-themed.
So what's overlaid on that world?
This is a long shot, but I gotta ask. Hardy, is it possible you're on the vegetable display at the grocery store?
No. Are you insane?
No, listen. They used to have this fake rainstorm sound at the supermarket, and then the sprinklers over the veggies would come on and spray the broccoli down or whatever. It just reminded me of that.
Lou, I think you changed something. I'm suddenly in a grocery store.
I knew it.
You caused it, you knucklehead. You made him remember something.
Oops.
I love when people cause something and then take credit for predicting it. Did you find everything you were looking for?
Well, not the land. I was looking for land, and why I might have seen it, I can't be sure.
Oh, okay. It's hard to tell what's real.
Oh, I can tell what's real. I just can't distinguish one real thing from another.
You want to know the price of all this?
I know the price of all this better than most, and I know I cannot pay the bill when it comes due.
Do you need help with carrying your bags?
I would never turn down an offer to help bear my load. But I cannot repay you, as this journey has broken my resources and my spirit, too.
Here, use this. You can lean on it and carry your load at the same time.
Thank you, Bosun.
No rain in the forecast, partly cloudy. No rain in the forecast, partly cloudy with increased sunshine. Low this morning, believe us, Baba. No rain in the... Hey, I'm about to go on the air, Tom, but let's hear what the competition is up to.
You mean turn on WILL?
Yeah, let's hear it.
When I was a house, I once sold houses. I described to the curious what they were already looking at.
What is this?
I've seen it all before. I remember doing it all before. Every time that I meet with you, I see all the times that I've met with you, and they're all juxtaposed, one on top of another. But this way, it obscures my vision. The picture becomes so jumbled, I can't see individual meetings anymore. It blurs together into one history, one story. I've tried to jam all the individual pieces together because I'm convinced that they make a whole. But what if there's no whole? What if these aren't cells in a cartoon animation? What if they go nowhere? What if they're all individually different?
Clearly, I'm dreaming.
I thought I was wide awake before, but I've been dreaming. You only think you're awake because stuff is happening, and you can predict it, right? But what about the stuff that doesn't make sense? How is that not from the dream world? The place of impossibilities and incongruities and anachronisms.
Clearly, I'm dreaming.
I normalize whatever I do in dreams. If I fly, then that's what I do, and I never question it. If I'm a ship's captain or climbing a mountain, I accept the role I'm in and do it and call it normal. I am wide awake and asleep and dreaming and dying and just being born. I am wide awake and asleep and dreaming and dying and just being born. I thought I was awake before.
I am dreaming clearly. Clearly I am dreaming. Clearly.
How is this not the place of impossibility?
Clearly I am dreaming.
This must be who I am.
Wide awake dreaming.
And I'm awake. Shemp jive, everyone.
Shemp jive. Shemp jive.
This is the story of the sermon on a train. Once there was a train car headed somewhere, and everyone on it was living in more than one world at once. And so a Sunday school teacher from a rec center room somewhere appeared and addressed the car full of people. Thanks, Butchie. Shemp jive, train car.
Shemp jive. Shemp jive.
I have an evergreen message of love. My lessons have been relevant since life began. Though I look old, I'm not that old. The particulars of human experience are complicated, but the basics are easy. So easy, yet they have no master. Perhaps because of that, people avoid their study, but this is the truth. To live as a human being is to feel. Life can bring both pleasure and pain. The pain can be unbearable. Nature itself does not spare us from this, but there is a greater pain that can exist. The pain that humans bring to humans. The monster cruelty at its ugly children. Nature is sometimes cruel, and so humans decide to use this cruelty as a weapon. But remember that life is also joy. And the greater power the human has is love. Love cannot erase the cruelty of nature, but it can double the joy of nature. It can lessen the sting of unavoidable pain. Cast out the wickedness of your hearts that would seek to harm and tolerate harm. Love your human siblings. Protect all children from ages 0 to 130 like they were yours. Care about every breath from every life. Bake your goal and create magic.
And the congregation was moved. And then, the naive, simple guy that everybody made fun of stood up.
Everyone? Well, anyway, I just wanted to mention black people. I might say something stupid, but I'd rather say it directly. And my heart needs to speak, so... One thing about having a friend with a time machine is you get to see things, and something you might not get is that slavery is the worst thing you can do to a human, period. It's a death preceded by torture, both physical and mental. Millions of blessed, beautiful families, sweet, happy kids, kidnapped and abused and used for generations. And you raise your kids in this. Black people raise their kids in this, treated like less than humans, and taken to a world where the very culture teaches the existence of inferior beings. You are terrorized, and black people raise their kids in this. And then they're told that they are free, that they're free from slavery, but they're still beaten and murdered without justice, no justice, and they raise their kids in this. And the country has to demand cruel bullies and sadists take their hands off their throats and sometimes even pry them off. That's because the hate endures, and the dehumanizing endures, and the caricature. And so you're living side by side, two different overlapping worlds, where everything is made harder for black people in this country. Harder to get a place to live, harder to get a loan, harder to start a business. And the very real fear that they or their kids will die at the hands of the police with no justice. And that is in every American black person's face and soul. So if you think that you love God's creation and you profess a love for it, you must work for equality and against racism. Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Oh, come on in, friends. I was just setting things up to do some crafts. You know, when I was a young man, I asked my mother. She's a single mom. I asked her. I said, how do I be a man, Mama? And she said, read this book. And it was Rosie Greer's Needlepoint for Men. And I realized then that, hey, crafting is part of it. And thank you so much, Rosie Greer, for setting me on that path. And the Three Stooges I found on my own. So I feel like somehow my idea of manhood is just a combination of the Three Stooges and Rosie Greer. And I feel very blessed for that. And I am going to share with you today my love of crafts. I've laid out these things on the table. Some of that I know looks like deli because I had Butchie helped me, and I said, I need a craft table, and he thought I meant craft services. So there is Lakshmir with glitter in it. But most things are separated here now, and there's yarn and everything. I thought we could make, like, a time machine. And say, well, I thought you needed electronic parts and stuff for that. A lot of it can be done with tinfoil. You just have to use your imagination. Not your imagination. You can't use your imagination when you're building a bridge. Some of it you can, but some of it has to be tried and true engineering. It's like when you're making a cake. You say, well, just use your imagination. And, you know, there's certain principles. If you've watched the
the great the Estonian baking show or whatever it's called, and they have people on there and say, oh, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it right. I mean, and the proof of the pudding tasting is at the end. And I think I got that wrong. But anyway, you know what I mean. You can't make everything up. You can reinvent the wheel a little bit. It'd probably be a crappy wheel. But, you know, you can give it a try. Say, oh, I'm going to make it whatever. What's that shape that the Wankel engine is? Jeff emailed me something about that. He said, oh, I'm obsessed with this shape. And I said, all right, that's a Wankel engine. And I'm going to make a cake that shape. I don't know why. I just feel moved to do it. Do you ever get a bee in your bonnet, like a literal one? I'm asking you, why are you wearing a bonnet? You go, well, I was in a play. You know, it was one of those things. We were supposed to be old-time prairie and everything. And as we're rehearsing, a bee got in there. And it was hilarious. It wasn't hilarious. It hurt a lot. But, you know, the show goes on. This show goes on. And I am here to lend a hand. I want to be your friend. I want to lend you a hand. I don't know what you need. But I came over. This is what my philosophy is. Drop in on people and say, hey, I'm here to help. And they go, really? Actually, right now, it's this really super bad time because my family's coming over. And you go, you know what? I'm going to help by leaving. And then I do. And then I write it down in my book as helped today, even though I created the problem that I then solved. But that's, you know, that's part of it. So you go looking for trouble somehow. So I'm going to go look for, if you're bound and determined to help somebody, you're probably going to give them a problem. And then you come in, step in with the solution. I'm always convinced that people are doing that when they're selling me something at the house. And I say, can we look around the house first before we sell you this burglar alarm? We thought we'd maybe go and test some of the windows. All right. But generally speaking, I use a recipe, and then within the recipe, there's so much freedom. Oh, there's various ways to make a cake, and you can make it any flavor. Oh, we live in a world of variety, and there should be more, even, especially among these yarns I have set out. I mean, I feel I didn't really look very hot, and there is a lot of yarn available. I take all that back. Probably every color imaginable. And some that are not in the visible spectrum. I went to this yarn store, and they had them all laid out. And they had the Roy G. Biv, the whole spectrum, and everything in between. I said, this is amazing. Look at all those colors. I go, what about the empty shelf space at either end? And they said, well, at that extreme, past the red yarn, you'll see an empty shelf. And I go, what's there? And they said, radio wave yarn. It's yarn made out of radio waves. I go, that is fantastic. Yeah, so it's they have, you know, and then at the other, I said, what's at the other end? And they said, oh, that's our ultraviolet and our X-ray. There's X-rays yarn. And I go, what do you say? Where, like if you make an outfit out of it, everybody can see your bones? And she laughed. I don't know whether that's true or not to this day. But I thought that was interesting because, you know, the electromagnetic spectrum has all the yarn on it. And maybe I'm telling you a little bit of a tale here. I might be making that up. I lie like crazy, especially when I go to the doctor. They have those forms and everything, and I go, oh, gosh, I just can't. I have to lie a little bit. I always lie about how much I exercise and stuff like that. I shouldn't. But I just want, sometimes you want the world to be a certain way. And it's just, you think, well, if I just tell myself something, then it'll be that. Well, that'll be a shortcut. I'll create a new reality by ignoring the one that's out there. I will live entirely in my head, maybe. I'll walk around like that, living in my head, like I'm wearing one of those virtual reality things across my eyes. I often go out into the world like that, like I have one of those VR headsets on. And I'm seeing something different than what you're seeing. I'm seeing a world that's created and shown back to me based on my memories or based on the things that I want to be, but not what's really out there. Oh, if I did open my eyes and had to see that real world, I don't know that I would always be able to deal with it, I said. But then
I realized how expensive the VR headset was to maintain, and I threw it away, and I was like, well, you know what? It really is just cheaper to accept reality, and I will work at that then, because it feels like it's just more effort to live in a state of denial and self-deception, and eventually it all comes crumbling down, and you stand there screaming naked in your ruins of your fake world. I don't want that to happen. Oh, my goodness, I wish I could. We could make our own glue. I think we could make our own glue. I wish I could make it out of dry mouth. I don't think you'd want to use it. You know, that's disgusting. You shouldn't make anything like that, any kind of craft elements out of body fluids. You know, all right, that half of the things I had planned, I got to cross off now. But that's okay. The blood spatter paintings were going to be fun. And there's not that much. You don't use that much blood. But I can see how you'd be like, oh, I don't know. It's not real. We would just use paint. Oh, gosh. There's so many fun ways to do things and things to make. I do want to make that time machine, though. I've got a really big cardboard box. I ordered something large. I don't remember what it was, whether it was a freezer. You never know when you're going to need a large freezer. You say, somebody, I got an alien body. I go, I don't want to deal with it yet. Just put it in the freezer. Something like that. And I got a zero. I don't know why I wanted the zero Kelvin freezer. I don't know what I need. I guess it was part of the time machine because I wanted to say, oh, I'll stop time, I'll freeze time or whatever like that. But I've never ended up using it. And a friend came over and put lamb chops in. I don't even eat those. And so now there's just 0 degree Kelvin lamb chops in there. I guess they'll be all right for eternity. I will take them out at the end of time and serve them to tardigrades. And they'll go, oh, this is way too much food, y'all. That's me doing a tardigrade impression. I don't know what we're going to make. We could make little tardigrades. I had a naugahyde. I think that would look good. Little naugahyde tardigrade. I don't know if that's something that you want to make or not. It's up to you. I don't want to. You know, when the Lego set gives you, like, here's how to make a spaceship. You go, I don't want to make a spaceship. I'm going to make a pile of bricks. All right, you can do that. You know, it's just if you want plans to do something more elaborate. But nobody's stopping you from being creative. I don't mind what you do. Let's be inventive. But I will say, at the end of the day, we're going to judge what you did. So, and then the ones that are cool, the good art projects that I think are neat and inventive in it, you'll get to live. No, it's not like that. There's no stakes at all, is what they say. They say, what they say at the vegetarian restaurant? Fake steaks. So the steaks are fake. There's nothing to lose and there's nothing to gain here. Well, there is something to gain. Friendship, fellowship. If you have, the more people you have in your life, the more people you care about. The more people you care about, the more people you care about. And the more people you care about, the more people you care about. And if you care about them, you care for them. You take care of them. So the more people whose lives you're invested in, who you've looked in the eye and they say, I like you, and you say, I like you, and you mean it, the more you participate in their lives. And the more you participate in their lives, the more we're connected. And the more we're connected and watch out for one another and have a stake, the better things are. Stake, it makes things better. That's not the stake I'm saying, by the way. I meant a money stake. Like when you, hey, do you have a stake in that franchise that has the ice cream made out of leaves? Yeah, I don't know why I thought that'd be a good idea. I also have a stake in it. But none of us mean like meat. Nor do we mean like a wooden stake that you would drive through the heart of a vampire. No, sir. Why just have people over for crafts? That seems silly. Well, first of all, I like to do something when you have people over. Because I used to just have a conversation pit. I spent a lot of money on one of those big couches that's in a circle. And then you got to dig down, like you got to have a sunken living room. So that meant cracking through the foundation, digging down lower. Had to pause for a while because we hit like what turned out to be an archaeological site. So we had to wait for them to get out all the Phoenician pottery. Then we started to work again. and it made this conversation pit. And then it turned out everybody felt awkward in it. We'd all sit around. This was ages ago. I would use the time machines. This is early 70s. Sit around this conversation pit and just looking at each other. Some people without pants on because it was the 70s. And so just, oh, so, and that wasn't what made it awkward. That wasn't even the worst. The worst was just looking at everybody thinking, what am I going to say? I don't want to say something stupid. It's a lot like these Zoom meetings now. You just like, you all look at one another and go, gosh, you know, normally in a party, I'd be out back, right? Saying, you know, do y'all have a dog? And I'd be go look for the dog or anything, or just go out with the smokers and say, what y'all doing? But I wouldn't be roaming it because it's, you know, it's hard to talk to folks sometimes. You know how it is. Even if you do have the, you know, intellectually, hey, I got nothing to fear and nobody's judging me or anything. Sometimes it's neurological or something, and you just, other people, it's, make you anxious and everything, even though they're gentle, blessed souls. And then you get to know them and everything's better, right? You know, after I've been with somebody a little while, I get to know people and I feel more comfortable, you know, but going to a party or something. But when you come over to my house, just to keep things less awkward, sometimes it's fun to do, something to focus on. I have friends that the way they're wired is that if they're actually doing something with their hands and looking at that, they can talk to you better. But if they have to be still and just look at you, it doesn't work. So I'm used to trying to provide something like that. Because everybody's, boy, I'll tell you what, about everybody being different. They are. But there are enough of the same where you don't have to get an infinite amount of drinks when they come over. You know what I mean? Like you just have to get, you know, water, seltzer, Fresca, something. That should take care of it. I mean, people are, they're all sorts of shapes, sizes, and tastes. But it's probably at some point a finite number. We are all, though, unique, aren't we? All of us, even though we're the same, we're slightly different. Everybody is just slightly different because you exist in a place and time that nobody else has. You're taking up space that nobody can take up at the same time. It's impossible. So you absolutely are the only one walking that route, doing that exact thing, thinking those things, having that experience. Oh, does that make you special or ordinary? Sportinary. That's what it makes you. Glashel. I don't know, Oshel. Something like that. Some wonderful combination of both. Some wonderful combination. That's what the great thing about this universe is, you can be large and small at the same time. It's a very strange thing. You can be huge. I am huge. Look at you, little ant.
Oh, you are truly a giant.
I am. Have you come to steal my goose?
Now what now?
Well, then no.
No, I didn't know you had one.
Okay, forgot I said anything. It lays golden eggs.
What?
No, forget I said anything. Oh, I need to shut up. I need to shut up.
Where is this goose?
No, there isn't any goose.
I mean, but then I feel I could be a giant to that little ant that's coming to rob me. Or I could feel very small at the base of a great mountain. Or a giant. Sometimes I run into giants. And, God, you know, it's so you never go, oh, you're so tall or something. I never say that to a giant. I think they probably hear that all the time. That's really, ugh. Who wants to hear that? What kind of sports do you play? And they say, I grind Englishmen's bones for bread mainly. I go, oh, all right. Well, I don't know. Can't blame you. They make good bread. The English. Do they? I've never heard that. No, has everybody ever said that? I'm sure they have good bread in England because they're very close to France. Oh, stop it. Anybody can make good bread. There's good bread worldwide. Except, isn't there one that's made in a can and it's kind of brown and tastes like molasses? Is that Boston? That one, I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's the shape of the can, which is fun. No, I guess. Anything you make in it. I like recycled things. I mean, I learned how to make... You can make pasta in an old engine block. You can use it. I don't know how you there's a way to refix it and everything, and you make it basically into a big Play-Doh fun machine. Or just take one of those, and instead of the Play-Doh, you put your pasta
dough in there. I don't know. These are just things that are... It's just they pop into my head. No, they don't. I write them down. Really? Who knows? Nobody knows. We don't know where our thoughts come from. I do. I mean, I kind of do. Well, they do come from your experience. And they do come from your memories. And your memories all piled in there. And sometimes they're all out of order. And they resurface constantly. And they resurface in the middle of interactions. So that every time that you're interacting with somebody, you interact with every other moment that you have. That's a very strange thing. You bring all that every time to every new experience. You bring references and puns and things that remind you of stuff. So you reach for a cup and it's a certain color yellow, and that color yellow reminds you of some door or some business you used to work at, and then that reminds you of old Mike who used to work there, and then that, you know what I mean? You go off on this thing, and I'm sure your brain is doing this constantly. And just like a social media comment thread, you know, people pick up on different things, or for this show, and you'll start talking about different things. So if I say, name it like Quisp cereal or something, so people go, oh, I'm 50, I eat Quisp cereal. And then you start reminiscing about maybe other cereals, and then you start talking about King Vitamin and how much sugar it had and how much sugar other things had, and then you start talking about sugary drinks, and it goes off this way. And then, as you're talking about sugary drinks, I may say something that's unrelated but poetically, beautifully married to that idea. And it creates a third thing. So you're hearing a show I'm not even broadcasting, mostly. How's that? We're doing this together. I say things, but I don't know how they're received. I imagine they're received in a complicated way. I wish I could be such a genius that I would be able to manipulate all listeners and everything that they heard. I would be able to anticipate their emotions and their memories and all the things that they saw in their head. I could anticipate this. I could plan it. I could choreograph it. I could write it. I could direct it like it was a play. And inside of your head, you would all see the same things. And you would all walk away from it saying, oh, love is the answer. Or, oh, our memories corrupt us. Or something like that. But you would all walk away with the same message. I'm glad that doesn't happen. I'm glad that you all leave this show with something different. Maybe you just take what you need. If it was one of those things, if it was one of those situations where you walk into a shop and I say, just take what you need, y'all wouldn't take the same things because y'all don't need the same things. Some of you, it would be overlap. Say, both of you need SpongeBob Band-Aids. I love Band-Aids that have cartoons on them. I don't have to use Band-Aids very often, but when I do, I reach for the cartoon variety because it calms my spirit, and I feel like I don't have nothing to prove, that whimsy will cheer me and whimsy will help eliminate pain, and I'm all for eliminating pain, and I don't mind looking silly. I don't mind looking silly because I think as a person, my dignity is inherent. I don't have to go looking for it. I am dignified because I am a living human being, so therefore I will do whatever I wear, whatever hat I want. I will say whatever sappy things I care to say, and I will be silly and naive, and I will still be dignified because I am alive, and anybody who walks through this life and carries the twin beautiful gifts of love and compassion, there you go. Then there you have it. Then you deserve dignity. And even if you don't, you deserve it. Oh, I see you, all of you. I see all of you little babies. Oh, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to see human beings tenderly. See them all as babies if you must, all as children. Some of you must have a heart. And look for your heart. Look for your tenderness. Look for that part of yourself that cries. Look for it. Nurture it. Don't lose it. Come on now. If you lose it, you really will drift. You can drift into cruelty and evil, even if you're not that type of person. If you inure yourself, if you allow a callus to grow upon you, it's easy to do. I'm telling you, scrape it away. Feel pain. Be sensitive. Let yourself feel things. You want to be, say, oh, I don't know, I'm too tough for that. You're too tough.
You're too tough to be vulnerable. You're too tough to fight without armor. It seems to me the toughest warriors would fight naked, crying. Like that. They were brave enough to feel all that life has to offer, even though it destroys you. Let yourself feel it. Oh, I don't need the armor. I don't need to look tough. I don't need to be violent or aggressive. I don't have to do that. I'll let you do that. You can be chest-thumping alpha or something, and I will sit here in my mild dignity. And when you decide that you would like to live in a world of joy and possibilities instead of one of unnecessary conflict and cruelty, you just let me know and we'll welcome you in, and you may come to the feast of brother, sisterhood, siblinghood. Why do I say siblinghood? Because of my non-binary siblings. I must call you out by name sometimes, friends and ones that I love. It is not enough to have a sign that says, all are welcome. I put out a sign and I'm going to mention you all by name and say you're welcome. Like a romper room sign, I'm going to look through it and I'm going to call you by name and say, I see you. I see you and I love you. That's what I like to do. I open up my heart and my home and my head and invite you all in, because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to ever change my mind, to think differently, to be molded, to learn, to expand. That's what I want to do. I don't need to be frozen in time. I am a time traveler. I go all over trying to understand people. I go to places that I don't want to go because I need to see truths that I need to see. I need to feel things. Sometimes I feel they're going to wreck me, but they don't. I feel they're going to break me completely, but they don't. Have you ever felt grief like that? You say, this grief is going to tear me apart. I really feel like it's something inside and it's just going to break me. I'm going to crack and I'm going to shatter. And I'll be a pile of nothing on the floor. That's what this grief is doing to me. And that doesn't even begin to describe what it is sometimes for some. Oh, yes, but then you end up surviving. You end up keep living. One day comes and another day comes. And it never completely goes away. But you endure. You keep going on. And you say, I'm going to love anyway. I'm going to love even if it breaks me. I'm going to keep loving. And I'm going to put down that armor that lashes out when I'm hurt. That lashes out when I think I'm losing my power. And I'm telling you, y'all see the Star Wars. The fella puts his arms down and they slash him away and he becomes even more powerful. That's because he becomes part of something bigger. You know, that's his ego he's letting go of. You know, I'm just a bag of guts, right? If I'm going to expand in life, I got to stop trying to look cool. I got to stop trying to intimidate somebody. If I believe in equality, then all are my equals all the time. I'm not going to be condescending to anybody. That's my goal. And that's why I have you over for craft time. It's just that easy. And because we need company. I like to keep you company. And say, oh, do a silly play or something. Do a silly radio thing. All right, I will, totally. I don't mind at all. I like making music and everything. And I like sharing it with you. Oh, so much. And I hope that I'm doing I apologize that I am compelled to be to do silly radio. I thank you for letting me, and I pray with every fiber of my being that I do no harm. That's what I don't want to hurt, and I'm sure we all inadvertently hurt all the time. You can say things that you think are silly or funny,
And you go, and you know, you might, your attitude might be, hey, people need to be less sensitive. No, I don't know. I've never dismissed hurt like that. I've never felt like that the freedom to hurt was a freedom that I really enjoyed necessarily. I may not need to. I mean, I balance things. I find out the price of things. And if the price of not hurting somebody, you know, is just not saying a certain thing or saying it differently or thinking for a minute, then why would I not do it? I have, my pride is in my heart's yearning. That's what I'm proud of. I'm proud that I have a heart that yearns to love. And I'm not proud of any perceived accomplishments or any power or anything like that, or how cool I am or status or anything like that. I just want to be a fool for loving my neighbor. I want this desperately to happen. And I tell you, I can dismiss people when I don't see them. But once I look in their eyes, once I see faces, I can't not feel that human connection. Oh, people, I'm scared of you and I love you. And I'm glad we're alive together, you and I. And I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. Oh, what can we make from basically just yarn, cream cheese, and paint? I'm not sure. Let's eat the cream cheese. The glitter's not going to kill you. And then let's take the yarn, I don't know if this is going to work, and wrap it around a wooden spoon handle. Follow me? And then shoot a lot of electricity or radiation or something through it. And that may break through the fabric of time. It's not how my machine works. My machine has this plug-in thing. I don't even know what it is. It's kind of a big box. And I think that's what's in it. Because the actual time machine room is just a room we made out of wood and everything with seats. But I think that the thing is the box. That's what has the glowy blue tube in it and everything. And then we use that. It's been broken for a couple of years, as you know. So don't time travel much anymore. I'm waiting for a past me or something to come fix it. I don't know what's going on. Why would it just stop working if it's from the future? Do you know? See how that little sense that makes? I think a lot of times the stuff I do and say and go to doesn't make much sense. And I wonder about that. I go, am I making the world stranger? And I go, no, that's not possible. You know, don't give yourself so much credit. No, you're not. I just, maybe you're making the world a little, just slightly gentler. And you're not going to, I think there's no risk that that you're going to accidentally make the world too gentle, Hardy. You know what I mean? It's like, what if we, no. You know, you are really sprinkling something in the ocean. And maybe it'll affect somebody. That's my dream. My dream is that I've not only not hurt you, but I've helped you in some way and that we're friends. Oh, I love you, and I reach out to you. I hope you're feeling it, and it's good to be together, and may we be together and learn to live with one another in an extraordinary way and live in a beautiful paradise of equality and justice and beauty and love. I love you so much, my friends. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, New York, and New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you again next week. No.
I'm too close to heaven. I can almost see God's face. I'm too close to heaven. I can tell the world I love His grace. I would take nothing for my journey right now, and that's why. I've almost reached my goal. I'm too close. heaven, divinely saving my soul. I went down in the valley, but I didn't go there to stay, and that's why. You will look for me today.